Another reason people will cut a sandwich in quarters is so they can eat one quarter and then the other quarter only if they're still hungry, and they don't feel the need to eat that entire other half. A lot of times the thin eaters would eat half the sandwich and then evaluate and say, okay, do I want the extra half of the sandwich? Most of the people said that they either ate half the burger or three quarters of the burger or sandwich. If they were really, really hungry, sometimes they ate the whole burger or sandwich. The other thing I've seen some of the women do is eat half with the bread and then just pick at the rest. They would pick a quarter of it and just pull out the meat or a slice of tomato or pickles. So they may eat half the burger with the bun and all the toppings, and then they would take a quarter of it and just pull out pieces and pick at it. God's power versus my power. The excuse many people give for why they can't stick to this plan is a lack of willpower. I don't have the willpower to only eat half a candy bar. I can't just eat five M&Ms. I don't have the strength to stop eating and put my food away. Instead of relying on your self-discipline, you need to rely on God's discipline. Many of us were taught to live the Christian life wrong. I was taught about this Christian wheel method when I first became a Christian. The idea was that if you wanted to be a good Christian, there were certain things you had to do. You had to go to church every Sunday, pray, fellowship with other Christians, evangelize, and spend time in the Word of God. If you did those things, then you would have a fruitful Christian life. The part people miss is that you have to live your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to do everything with the Lord's help. True Christian discipline sounds like this. God, will you please help me get through this? I can't do this without you. I realize I am completely weak in this area. Without you, I can't turn from my old ways. I need your help to do this. Living your life with the help of the Holy Spirit is the only way to succeed. While all the things in that wheel are good, they're tools. They're not a substitute for the power of God. Accountability and strongholds. In order to overcome gluttony, you have to be honest with yourself. In today's society, we call just about everything a disease. It may not be a popular point of view, but I don't see overeating and alcoholism as diseases. These things are avoidable. If you've never had a drink, you can never become addicted to alcohol. So it's the same with overeating. There are choices you made that put you in the position you find yourself in now. You have to learn to take personal responsibility for where you are and learn self-control. Accountability and self-control are a huge part of this journey. If you don't stop blaming others for where you are, you're never going to take responsibility for your life and overcome your struggle. To take control of your actions, you have to start with taking control of your thoughts. The Bible talks about taking thoughts captive in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's one of the most important things you can do when it comes to weight loss. Your mind is a battlefield. It's where you fight those battles of should I or shouldn't I? I know I shouldn't overeat, but that pan of brownies looks really good right now. A thought left uncaptured eventually becomes a stronghold. We get a picture in our minds of the things that we want, and then we can't seem to get free from it. Biblical fasting is so powerful because it can free you from your strongholds. Let's look at examples of different strongholds we develop in our lives. Scenario 1. Pizza, your favorite food, pops up in your mind. You think about it for a while, and now you can't get the image out. Now, all you can think is pizza, 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 until you finally eat it. Scenario 2. You go to a buffet and eat 6 times what you normally do. You do this because you rationalize that you have to eat your money's worth. Scenario 3. You decide you can't fast in the morning because someone told you a long time ago that you have to eat breakfast to have enough energy to survive the day. Scenario 4. You don't fast because you have a firm belief that if you ever get hungry, you'll get cranky.
2 Corinthians 10:5b, NIV. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
2 Corinthians instructs us to take these thoughts captive and bring them to the Lord. If fasting is mentioned 77 times in the Bible, then I think it's meant to be a major part of our Christian lives. If God told us to do it, then it's something we can do successfully.
Philippians 4:8, NIV. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
We have to think positively and overcome negative thoughts. Start with prayer and ask God to bring negative thoughts to your attention so that you can get rid of them. Pray for a mind that thinks thoughts like Philippians 4:8 and actually quote the scripture. Start your day with a devotional in God's Word to equip yourself to win. In your idle time, when negative thoughts start to creep in, listen to praise and worship music or to our podcast. Cancel those thoughts out immediately when they arise. Defining fullness. I never really understood what the definition of full was before I began this journey. I always felt like I was hungry and could eat all day. Sometimes I would come home from work and, If I was wearing a tight dress, I would change into pajamas so I could eat more at dinner. I don't do that anymore. Now, full is a polite feeling for me. Instead of eating until I'm full, I eat until I'm barely full or satisfied. Stuffed and satisfied feel different. If you're eating to the point that you have to take off your belt or change into your pajamas, then that means you're eating beyond full. I learned my biggest lesson on fullness from one of my thin friends, my hairdresser, Danielle. One day in conversation, I discovered that she only eats one slice of pizza for lunch every day. I asked her if that really filled her up, and she told me it didn't. She explained to me that when she finishes that slice, even though she's not full, she will be 20 minutes later. Thin people don't eat to get full. I've learned that they actually hate being full. They don't like the way it feels. You have to adjust your definition of full and not expect the kind of full feeling you're used to. Don't be the kind of person who eats faster so she can taste more food before she's too stuffed to eat anymore. There's a real science to understanding when you're truly full and truly hungry, but it's something you'll learn intuitively. Thin eaters and fullness. In all of my research, I learned that thin eaters have certain eating characteristics that revolve around how they perceive fullness. Thin eaters wrap up their food when they're done eating and do it without arguing, pouting, or complaining. They know that they'll get hungry again eventually and they don't want to feel stuffed. It's also important to learn to eat slower so you can sense when your body is full. If you eat too fast, you'll blow right by just enough before you realize it. There's a balance to figure out when you're full. On days that you're only eating OMAD, you're tempted to get really, really full to compensate, but you can't do that. Even if you're someone who works out and has more muscle mass, you can't use the fact that you need more calories as an excuse to binge. It's important that you create a habit of getting hungry. If you're feeling especially hungry when you sit down to eat, take time to calm yourself so you're not going wild on your food. Use a timer and measure how long it takes you to eat your food. One of the things that was a recurring theme over and over and over, which I 100% agree with, is that every single one of the girls, no matter if she was sick or healthy, would say one of the following. See if you recognize support for each of the elements of our FIRES theme. Fast on a regular basis, identify true hunger, reduce sugar and white simple carbs, enjoy real food without deprivation, stop before you're full. I like the feeling of getting myself all the way to empty. It feels like my stomach is kind of hollow and gurgles. I always try to make sure that I'm not actually thirsty, so I first drink a big glass of water, sometimes water with lemon or a splash of lime. And if I am still hungry, I know it's legitimate. The thing that I do if I'm really stressed is go for a walk. Anything that is going on wrong in my life, instead of running to food, I put on my walking shoes and go for a quick walk. I never eat because it's a certain time of day or because it's lunchtime or dinner time, or even if there's food just in front of me. I don't eat because of the time on the clock. I ask myself if I am hungry and then I eat, or I will take something and save it for later. When I am not hungry, nothing sounds good for me to eat. So if someone says, "Hey, where do you want to go for lunch?" and I'm not hungry, I really can't think of anything because food doesn't sound good until my body is hungry. When I get hungry, these are some of the signs that I feel. I start getting a lack of energy. I get a little grumpy. My head starts hurting a little. Stomach growling. I have an empty feeling and I start getting a little shaky. After I eat different bites of food, I actually check my body and see my level of hunger or fullness at the time. I rate my level of hunger and I want to make sure that I am never full. I hate the feeling of being full. I love the feeling of getting hungry. I like having growling and a feeling of emptiness and for my stomach to have a little bit of a queasy feeling. I know when that happens, my body is eating its own fat. I get excited when that happens. I'm not like, oh gosh, what if I get hungry? I'm not panicking if I get hungry. I love the feeling of being hungry because I know it's eating fat off my body. I ask myself, am I craving something or am I physically hungry? If I am craving something, I usually know that within 10 minutes, that craving will go away. So I just wait 10 minutes and go, okay, was I physically hungry or was I just craving something for another reason besides physical food? It's not about looking thin. It's about eating foods that make me feel my best. Food is my fuel, not something I do when I'm bored or lonely. Since I'm never turning to food when I'm stressed or when I'm bored, it's easier to make choices for food that are actually going to be good for me and actually fuel my body. I don't have any need to binge because I always know that if I am hungry, I can eat and there's just no reason for a binge. I never do meal plans. I don't have any food rules. I don't track my macros. I don't do any calorie counting. I eat what I want and I eat just until I am full. I've never been on a diet. Diets don't work. You don't have to diet in order to feel great. Instead of following a ton of rules, I eat what my body is truly craving. People ask me all the time why I am so thin. I basically tell them I eat when I'm hungry. I stop when I am full. It sounds really simple, but it's exactly what I do. It doesn't seem like rocket science to me, but for some people it really is. My husband is always thinking about food. I almost feel like he's been disconnected to his hunger because all he wants to do is think about food. Eating food. Even if he's not hungry, he'll eat it. When he's bored, he eats. When he's sad or happy, he eats. He literally eats for any reason. For me, I'm really in tune with my hunger and fullness. I try not to wait until I'm starving and ravenous because then I get weak and grouchy. So I try to wait until I'm very hungry, and I know I am ready to eat now. I don't even eat when I am a little bit hungry. I like to eat when I am very hungry, but not when I am starving, ravenous, or uncomfortably hungry. I try to eat when I am comfortable, but not even slightly full. I like to be comfortable, and I hate the feeling of being full. If I feel like I need to unbutton my belt or unbutton my buckle, which never happens. It happens maybe a couple times a year, and I really hate that feeling. I always eat everything with a fork and a knife. Even pizza, I eat with a fork and a knife. When I eat soup, I never cover more than half of the spoon when putting soup or dessert on my spoon. When I eat chocolate cake, I eat it with a fork. I don't eat it with a spoon because I feel like I can eat less, and I can get the bites that are smaller and with the parts of the chocolate cake that I really love, like the frosting. Using a fork, my knife, and cutlery, it helps me to eat smaller bites. I try not to use my hands as much when I'm eating. I just try to put my fork or spoon down after every single bite, and I try to slow down the automatic down, up, down, up. I put my fork down, and then I wait. Everyone jokes with me about the size of the bites I eat. The way that I look at it is my stomach doesn't have any teeth, so I have to chop up my bites as much as I can with my fork and knife, and then I try to really chew up my food as much as I can, so I feel like my body is having better digestion. I could never tell you a time I was uncomfortably full or felt sick from eating too much. It just doesn't happen. It's kind of like something you would never see me doing. Myth: late night eating will stop you from losing weight. I have a ton of friends who don't eat anything all day long. They wait until 8:30 at night to eat with their spouses because they get home late. These girls are stick thin and disprove this old myth. Myth: you have to eat every couple of hours. We're watching people not eat breakfast and go long periods of time without eating and still lose weight. The Bible doesn't say anything about breakfast being the most important meal of the day. Your body knows just how much oxygen it needs to live, and it knows how much food it needs too. Listen to it. Tell yourself that there is no alternative. Instead of being enslaved by diet, take all of that energy and focus on obeying God and His system of eating. Stop running from self-control. Even with the Weight Watchers diet's point system, you can still overeat if you're not careful. Your own self-control needs to be a part of this equation. 1 week, I lost focus on my hunger and fullness and tried to eat very, very clean. I ate so clean that I justified eating more than I needed. Want to guess what happened? I gained 2 pounds. I lost focus and fell into a dieting trap. Dieting produces drastic weight swings. When I was dieting, I was constantly gaining and losing 10 to 15 pounds. You could find sizes 6 to 10 in my closet because I never knew where I was going to be. Intermittent fasting is the only system I found that has me consistently losing weight. Mindful eating. Maintaining your weight loss isn't just about what you eat. It's about why you eat. There are plenty of times that we eat when we aren't actually hungry. We eat because we're tired, sad, or angry. We're using food to tranquilize our emotions. If you can't admit to that kind of behavior, you will never, ever get free from the addiction of overeating. Emotional eating is a habit we have to break. Your new number one habits should be to listen to your physical hunger and stop eating when you're full. If you learn these habits, then you'll have what you need to succeed. I love intermittent fasting because it has taught me to be a more mindful eater. The mindful eater asks herself the right questions, and the most important question she asks is, why am I eating? We should only eat for physical hunger, and not because we're angry, lonely, bored, stressed, anxious, or depressed. Those emotional cues override your internal signal of actual hunger and fullness. Those cues teach you to view food as a comfort. You don't even know when to stop eating because you weren't hungry when you started. You just keep going until the food is gone. This is a huge deal. The "why am I eating" question is a speed bump that makes you slow down and take a moment to recognize what's going on. It makes you identify the emotional cue that's driving you to eat. Another important question a mindful eater asks is this: am I physically hungry? Learn to recognize the physical signs of true hunger. Is your stomach growling? Does it feel hollow and empty? If not, you need to redirect your attention with one of the following activities: pray, read God's word, play Christian music, brush your teeth, take a shower or bath, take a walk, pet your dog or hug your children, talk on the phone with a friend, drink a glass of water or tea. Once these questions are answered in the right way, you're eating because you're hungry. Then ask yourself these questions while you eat. 1. Am I eating distracted? Don't be a distracted eater. Watching TV is an activity that can distract you from listening to your body's signals and lead to overeating. While you're eating, focus on the food and listen to your body. Sit at the table and take your time. 2. Am I fueling my body with real food? Stay on track with eating real, whole foods that aren't full of chemicals. 3. Am I stopping right before I'm full? You should never stuff yourself. Ask yourself how you want to feel when you're done eating. Good, energetic, and satisfied, or tired, stuffed, and bad, like you want to take a nap? I don't want to feel bad, so I don't want to supersize my portions. I want to make sure that I'm eating 30 to 50% less than what I was eating before. Exercise.
1 Timothy 4:8 NIV. For physical training is of some value.
That scripture above, in my opinion, means that you should be exercising in some form as long as you're physically able. You should be doing some sort of exercise at least 3 times a week. And I personally think weight training is the way to go. I have lots of friends who don't do any cardio at all, but are in great shape and great health. I personally work out every single day because I feel so much better when I do. However, your weight loss is 90% food intake and 10% exercise. That's why this book is focused on your eating. My number one goal is to get you eating right. The one thing I want to warn you about exercise, especially cardio, is to never use it as an excuse to eat more. If your only justification to eat something is that you'll work it off later, then don't eat it. Triggers. My mom is coming into town this week, and I was reminded that when I'm with my mom, I tend to overeat a little bit. My mom eats so healthfully. She's one of those people who has 2 boiled eggs for breakfast, a grilled chicken sandwich for lunch, and salmon and vegetables for dinner. So I think I try to be healthier when I'm with her and end up not eating enough to be satisfied, which leads to overeating. If she gets a grilled chicken salad, I'll get one too, even though that's not really what I want. Because it doesn't satisfy me, I snack on dark chocolate and nuts and fruit when I get home. Eating with mom can be a trigger for me, so I have to be very aware of it and not fall into that trap. One of my other triggers is when I visit my aunt. My family is from Iran, and Iranians have this thing where they want you to eat, eat, eat. You want them to think you like it, so you eat as much as you can. That's another scenario where I have to be careful not to overeat. Other types of triggers. 1. Behavioral triggers. Behavioral triggers are things you do that make you want to eat. Every night, my son and I watch at least 2 episodes of his favorite show, Good Luck Charlie. Every night, he always says, "Let's get a movie snack." That's an example of a behavioral trigger. In his mind, when it's time to watch the show, it's also time to get a snack. So I have to ask him, "Are you really hungry? We just ate dinner a little while ago." I used to have a behavioral trigger when I was younger, where right after I got home from school or work, I would go straight to the kitchen and get something to eat. Now I don't go to the kitchen first when I get home. Set up rules and boundaries that will circumvent those behaviors. I can decide that instead of going to the kitchen, I'm going to go and take a hot bath first. If you're truly hungry, then you eat, but you need to challenge your behaviors and ask yourself what's really going on first. 2. Emotional triggers. Emotional triggers can come from a bunch of different sources. My main emotional triggers are anger, bad news at work, feeling down in the dumps, or even just feeling like I deserve food because I work so hard. An example of a work frustration happened very recently. My web designer for Chantel Ray Real Estate was offered $40,000 more than what he was making with us from a different company. It was so frustrating because we had finally found a great web guy, but we couldn't afford to keep him. That was an emotional trigger for me. 3. Environmental triggers. An environmental trigger can be anything from seeing a TV commercial of people eating, to coworkers bringing in brownies, to everyone going out to happy hour. These unexpected scenarios pop up and make you want to be a participant and not feel left out.
1 Corinthians 10:13 NIV. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
What you have to do is really pay attention and ask yourself, what is my trigger? When the trigger shows up, immediately quote 1 Corinthians 10:13 and make a decision. Am I going to run to God or am I going to run to food? If I run to God, I will gain a lasting satisfaction that truly fulfills me. Self-talk. Positive self-talk is, in my opinion, one of the greatest things you can ever learn how to do. Even when I was heavy, my friends always told me you'd think I was a runway model just because I carried myself with so much confidence. Anyone can walk with this sort of confidence, no matter what they look like. I have a friend who says that when he walks into a room, in his mind, he's 6'3 and 200 pounds of pure muscle. He's actually 5'4 and bald. We are all our own toughest critics, but we also lie to ourselves more than we do anyone else. You tell yourself things that are not true, and you believe them. Your consciousness influences your identity, so if you're constantly telling yourself things like, you're no good, you're fat, you'll never amount to anything, you're never going to lose weight, then your mind is going to end up believing them. Whatever you think of yourself is how you will turn out. If you want to run in a different direction, you have to change your thoughts. There's a phrase my husband tells me all the time, probably several times a week. He says, just because you feel that way doesn't mean it's true. If you keep saying negative things to yourself and thinking them in your mind over and over, these fears and thoughts become self-fulfilling. You're sabotaging yourself. You have to be really careful with what you're saying. Here is something positive you need to tell yourself. The reason I didn't lose weight before is because I didn't have the right plan. Now I have the right plan and I'm going to lose weight. Now I'm committed to eating less. And the less food that I eat, the more I'm going to lose weight. Running to God. The reason that people really struggle during their fast is because they aren't running to God during that time. That's the number one problem. You can do the fast all day, but if you're not going to God, it's not going to work. You want to eat and think like a thin eater. A thin eater doesn't eat diet food. She eats when she's hungry and she stops eating when she's full. You want to eat 30 to 50% of the amount of food you used to. If you shorten your window, but eat the same amount of food as you always did, you won't lose as much weight as you want to. You have to consume less food. I went to the doctor's office the other day and I saw a very thin Lou. If you keep saying negative things to yourself and thinking them in your mind over and over, these fears and thoughts become self-fulfilling. You're sabotaging yourself. You have to be really careful with what you're saying. Here is something positive you need to tell yourself. The reason I didn't lose weight before is because I didn't have the right plan. Now I have the right plan and I'm going to lose weight. Now I'm committed to eating less. And the less food that I eat, the more I'm going to lose weight. Running to God. The reason that people really struggle during their fast is because they aren't running to God during that time. That's the number one problem. You can do the fast all day, but if you're not going to God, it's not going to work. You want to eat and think like a thin eater. A thin eater doesn't eat diet food. She eats when she's hungry and she stops eating when she's full. You want to eat 30 to 50% of the amount of food you used to. If you shorten your window, but eat the same amount of food as you always did, you won't lose as much weight as you want to. You have to consume less food. I went to the doctor's office the other day and I saw a very thin lady with a big bowl of candy on her desk. I thought to myself that in most cases, having that candy just sitting there would be a huge issue. That's not the case for someone with self-control. She can have that candy there and it won't affect her in any way, shape, or form. I'm not a big alcohol drinker. I probably drink 3 times a year, if that, because I don't like to drink my calories. So I could have every kind of liquor at my desk and not be tempted to touch it. While that wouldn't be the case for someone else, it just doesn't have a pull on me. That's a sign that you no longer have that magnetic attraction to food when you can have something like a jar of candy on your desk and not even be moved by it. You want to get to the point where, unless you're hungry, you're not thinking about food. That means you have to turn to God for comfort when the temptation arises to eat outside of your window. You want your body to talk to you about what you're craving and what you're eating. You want to listen to God's voice instructing you what to eat and what not to eat. The question you always have to ask yourself is this: does my stomach need food or do my emotions need food? Here's the truth. You will never be able to give yourself enough food to satisfy your emotions. Image ethic, work ethic, and eating ethic. There are certain things in life that just come naturally for certain people. Personally, I have always been a hard worker, and having a good work ethic is something that's really important to me. That's where I got my attaboys from when I was young. I was employee of the month 6 months in a row at the Burger King I worked at when I was 14. It all happened because I was really good at math. This particular Burger King had 2 drive-through windows, but they were too cheap to put a register at the second window. So on busy weekends when they opened the second window, I was the only one able to take orders there because I could do math in my head. If a meal came out to $13.56 and the customer gave me $20, I could calculate the change mentally without a register telling me how much to give back to the customer. My work ethic made that Burger King's numbers and drive-through times really good. The manager treated me like I was the best thing that ever happened to him. Some women have developed a strong image ethic. Their attaboys were, "Oh, you're so pretty," or, "Oh, you've got such a great little body." They give a lot of time and attention to how they look and present themselves. I have a beautiful friend who won Miss Virginia a couple of years ago. She is drop-dead gorgeous, and she spends a lot of time on her image. One night, we were going out together, and it literally took her 2 hours to get ready. I'm thinking to myself, for the love of Pete, let's go. It would drive me crazy to spend 2 hours to get ready for anything. But she's in there doing her hair, her eyelashes, and the whole nine yards. I can only stand to do that a couple of times a year for special events. Here we were just going to dinner on a Friday night, and she spent hours getting ready. She spends a lot of time and energy on how good she looks, and that's her image ethic. For me, when I really want to look my best, there's a lot that goes into making me look good too. I get my hair colored since I'm getting gray hair now. I get my eyebrows done, and I get a spray tan because I'm so pasty white. Without a spray tan, I look like Casper the Ghost. I'm getting older now, so I get Botox for my forehead, and I constantly go in for scalp treatments for the psoriasis on my scalp. These are just different things I spend a lot of time and energy on for my appearance. That's my image ethic. When it comes to my work, nobody has to tell me to get up and go to work because I've created work habits in my life. Every Monday through Friday, even though I'm my own boss and I don't have anyone standing over my shoulder telling me what to do, I get up and go to work. If I wanted to take the entire week off, I could, but I don't because my work ethic is so ingrained in who I am. My work ethic is based on the habits I've created. I get up and go to work every day, make it happen, and don't finish until it's done. If I don't pay enough attention to my image because I'm working too hard, my eating suffers. I don't take care of my image when I'm consumed with work, and I'm likely to just grab a pizza and keep it moving if my appearance is a mess. When it comes to your eating ethic, overeating can create the wrong kind of momentum for the rest of your day. After you overeat, you're tired and sluggish and you can't get your work done. If you're someone who goes out and drinks every night, you're creating a habit that makes you less efficient the next day. You want to create positive momentum habits. These are habits that create momentum in your life. If I go to the gym first thing in the morning, that's a momentum habit because it propels me forward for the rest of the day. Exercise makes me feel better, so I'm going to be more productive. See? Momentum habits feed into the other parts of your life. In order to create new momentum habits, you have to identify your unhealthy habits and break them. These habits begin with a trigger that kickstarts a routine and ends with a pleasure you used to satisfy your emotions. I have a trigger that activates right after lunch. If I eat too much at lunch, 30 minutes later my blood sugar drops and I want something sweet to eat. Trigger. So I walk across the street to Whole Foods, routine, and get a piece of chocolate with almonds and eat it. Pleasure. Now I have this habit that every day at 2:30, I really want some chocolate. Honestly, identify the pleasure. Is it chocolate? Is it the energy that comes from the sugar? Is it that I'm taking a break because I'm exhausted from working, or is it just fun? Whenever I go across the street to Whole Foods, I take my friend Heather. During that time, we get to chit-chat, talk about our day, and make each other laugh. I have to identify what that pleasure is and then determine how do I change my pleasure. If I'm not really hungry, then I can walk to Whole Foods and get a cup of coffee or just go to the office coffee bar and save money. If it's about spending time with my friend, I could just go along for the walk and let her buy something. I could even walk to her desk and have a cup of water or green tea. This is also a great opportunity to spend time with the Lord. Try setting an alarm for 15 minutes and see if you still want that food when that time has passed. Set the alarm a second time and see if the craving is still there. I've told you about my routine of eating every time I walk into the house. I developed that habit when I was younger. My school served a small lunch really early. I ran around like a chicken at school, and when I got home from school at 3 p.m., I was starving and ate everything. My mom, being a healthy eater, would make gross things like turkey enchiladas with tofu for dinner. Yuck. Since my mom was not a great cook, I think I felt that I needed to eat as much as I could and fill up before she got home. However, I would still eat a little something at dinner because I felt I needed to eat even though I wasn't really hungry. If she did make something that was good for dinner, I would eat all of that. I recognized that coming home was my trigger that started the routine of snacking for the pleasure of eating. You have to realize what your trigger is and come up with a new routine. My new routine is to take a bath with Epsom salt when I first get home because that is a big pleasure for me. It lets me relax and not go crazy. No quitting. My mom really did a good job of instilling in me a no-quit attitude. I signed up for softball when I was 12 years old because all my friends did. My first game, I hated it. I wasn't good at it and everyone else was so much better. I got hit with the ball a couple of times and I totally ran into the fence coming into home plate and got a bloody lip. I don't like this, I told mom, I quit. But mom said, you are not quitting. She never let me quit the team and I'm not a quitter to this day. If I go on a real estate listing appointment, but don't get the property, I don't say, that's it, I'm not doing any more listings. It didn't work out, so what? I'm moving on to the next one. How do you respond after one bad day of eating? Do you say, I did terribly today and I'm just not going to do this anymore? I'm done with this. It's not working. Suppose you have a day where you eat beyond your eating window. Fine. Get back up the next day and get right back on the plan. If you have one bad day at your job, do you just quit? No. You're going to have good days and bad days, but you have to keep going no matter what. The great thing is that you're not restricted in what you can eat, so you can never say you failed. Your only guideline is to abide by the 80-20 rule and not overeat. Even so, if you have a day where you eat 70-30 or 50-50, pick yourself back up and start again. It's not the end of the world. You are not going to give up and say this plan doesn't work for me. I recently went out for Mexican food and they gave us chips and salsa to eat while we waited for our meals. I ate more than I should have and was feeling full by the time my meal came. I ate it anyway because that old mindset that I always have to eat what's in front of me was in my head. So I ate too much. Do I throw away the whole plan and all of my progress over that one meal? No, I keep going.